Every year on the second Sunday of Advent, we have a special guest appearance in Scripture in our lectionary from John the Baptizer, who survived by eating locusts and wild honey and wore rough clothing made of camel's hair. You know, we tend to think of John as a bit of an offbeat character, and that's probably about right. But one of the things I noticed in studying paintings of John is that he seems so much more human than other people that are typically illustrated in his art. He has that sort of look of world weariness about him. Perhaps that's what happens when you find yourself out in the wilderness shouting, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, he adds insult to injury, calling the Pharisees and the Sadducees a brood of vipers, which is basically a nest of poisonous reptilian offspring. Not generally a good way to win friends and influence people. Most of us probably don't think of Advent as a penitential season, when we stop to enumerate our sins and make a plan to change course. But on this second Sunday of Advent, this is what John the Baptizer calls us to do. However, that language takes some pretty serious unpacking, because for many of us, the language of sin and repentance sounds more televangelist than we're used to. And what's more, it's caused injury to people who are not able to believe that God's goodness lies within them. Still, I think it's important for 21st century liberal Christians not to dismiss traditional language out of hand, because when we do that, we lose some of the richness of our faith tradition and the wisdom that it holds. Instead, I think we need to re-examine and redefine some of that language. So let's start with sin. You may think of sin as wrongdoing, and sometimes it is. But for the great 20th century theologian Paul Tillich, sin is more about estrangement and separation. Adam and Eve become estranged from God, living east of Eden. We are living as exiles cut off from our true home, and our true home is God. Marcus Borg writes, "Our estrangement can become hardened by how we live. We indulge our self-centeredness. Estrangement, the birth of the separated self, is a natural result of growing up. It can't be avoided. For the same reason, we develop closed hearts, a shell around the self. There is a sense in which we are blinded by the imprinting of culture on our psyches and our perception. It happens to all of us. So let's look at an Advent example of someone who has been hardened by the life he lives and who indulges in self-centeredness, but who has a profound change of heart. Okay, folks, this is where you pray to the patron saint of HDMI cables and see what we can do here. Oh, for the love of Mike. Well. You know, never buy a video on Amazon because they won't let you stream it anywhere. Okay, so that's not going to work. Well, I was going to show you the Grinch right up there at the very tip top of Mount Crumpet, where he's about to push the big sled full of the Who's toys and Christmas trees and lights down off the edge of Mount Crumpet. And his poor little dog is there trying to like save it. And the Grinch starts pulling as well. And then what happens is the Grinch realizes that this is not the right thing to do. So he's trying desperately to pull the sled back down. And Max the dog is trying to pull on the Grinch himself. And then you know what happens, right? You don't know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. There's this cool little X-ray machine that comes on in the animated version of the story, and it shows the Grinch's heart, boing, 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 growing three times that day. And he all of a sudden has the strength, not of one Grinch, but of 10 Grinches plus two. And he and Max pull the sled back and deliver all of the toys and the Christmas trees back to the Who's down in Whoville. That was better. That was better. That was better than watching the video. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bearing with me. You know, you may not never have thought about John the Baptizer when you watched how the Grinch stole Christmas, but it is as if he is there right on the crest of Mount Crumpet. The Grinch sees his estrangement from the Who's down in Whoville, and his hardened heart breaks open and grows three times its original size. Now, if we had watched the clip, you would never have heard the word repent. But what you saw was a beautiful example, or what you would have seen is a beautiful example of what repentance really means. The biblical meaning of repent is not primarily contrition, but resolve. Resolve to do something different. In the Hebrew Bible, to repent means primarily to return to God. Its metaphorical home is the exile. And to repent means to return from exile, to reconnect with God, to walk the way in the wilderness that leads from Babylon to God. As the Grinch returns to find community and love and meaning with the Who's down in Whoville, it's a homecoming that I would imagine puts a smile on God's face. Repent is a pretty scary word, especially because we usually think of it coming from the mouth of a fiery evangelist like Elmer Gantry, and it sure seems holier than thou in our context. But in the biblical Greek, it's actually a lovely, beautiful word that has a surplus of meaning. The word metanoia in Greek has two roots that connote going beyond the mind you currently have. And I would add that it also means going beyond the mind and the heart that you currently have. Go beyond the mind and the heart that have been shaped by culture and self-interest. Go beyond the mind and heart that have been molded by American consumerism and greed. Go beyond the heart and the mind of Jesus's compassion and subversive wisdom. So when John the Baptizer offers a baptism of metanoia, he is inviting people into the embodied process of transformed lives, going beyond the things that keep them in exile or keep them in bondage. And you know what that looks like. It isn't easy. It certainly wasn't easy for Ebenezer Scrooge. And at this point, I was going to show you a clip with Sir Patrick Stewart, and his version of A Christmas Carol. You know, he had done a one-man show on Broadway for years of The Christmas Carol, but it was filmed with a full cast a few years ago. And so he has the visitation from those three spirits. And I didn't want to show that part because it's really scary. So the clip came in after he'd had his visitation with the ghost of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. And so he wakes up, he throws back the curtains on his canopy four-poster bed and says, I'm still here. I'm still here. The bedpost is real. But what of all that I've seen? The spirits were able to do all of that in just one night. And so he opens up the window and goes over, sees a small boy passing underneath, and he says to him, "My boy, what is today?" And the child looks like, "It's Christmas Day, Mr. Scrooge." And he says, "Do you know that big turkey that was in the window of the poulterers down the street?" And the boy says, "Yes, yes, I know that." And he says, "Is it still there?" He says, "It's still there." And Scrooge says, "Well, go as fast as you can to the poulterer and get the turkey, buy it in my name and bring it back, and I'll give you a shilling," which really is hard for him. And then he says, "Do it within 5 minutes and I'll make it 2 shillings. And he gets a smile on his face. Scrooge starts to laugh uncontrollably because all of a sudden, that estrangement is gone. So the boy comes back and old Scrooge tosses 2 shillings out the window and goes downstairs ready to have the poulterer deliver the bird to the Cratchit family. You can use your imagination about those three ghosts, the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. What would those spirits show you if they were to come and visit? What would they show you from your past? What are the things that shaped you in childhood and earlier adulthood? What does the Spirit show you about the world today? And if you took the hand of the Spirit of Christmas yet to come, where would the Spirit lead you? And what would the Spirit show you? You know, Charles Dickens described Scrooge as a miserable old sinner. And what you would have seen in Patrick Stewart's portrayal of the miser is his moment of metanoia, of radical transformation of heart and mind. Scrooge has been separated not just from his family, and from the Cratchit family, he has cut himself off from the whole world, and he's done his best to cut himself off from God. But it isn't too late for him, is it? Metanoia is a real possibility for each of us in our alienation and in our exile. Perhaps Advent is more preparing the way and tending to the rebirth of the Spirit of Christ within each of us and within our church, rather than just waiting for the birth of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago or waiting for the second coming. Who knows what new life may spring up afresh within any one of us? And maybe the people who are sitting around you today will be the midwives who encourage and help you in that rebirth. Where in your life do you feel a little bit cut off or estranged or in exile or bound up? Simply acknowledging those pieces of your current mindset is the first step in rebirth or finding your way back home from exile. God is waiting for each one of us to accept the invitation to renewal, rebirth, and transformation and wholeness. In our full humanity and in our imperfection, God bids us to come toward the light of the world and to midwinter metanoia. May it be so. Amen.